The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Testing.
Testies.
Testies.
1, 2, 3. I don't know shit about fuck.
Fuck off.
I like sucking.
Woo! Legit bad podcast.
Ow!
Where's your home?
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
It's not a tumor.
Hey, welcome to Legit Bat. We had some technical difficulties on the last show, so if anybody in the chat right off the top here could let me know if it sounds like...
Yeah, sorry, it sucks so
that
bad.
That would be awesome.
For the Planet Retard Report.
Yeah, sorry to everybody who actually tuned in on that. Normally, I don't look at the chat on that show, and I happened to look at it afterwards and was like, shit.
And I was expecting zero listeners live, so I'm thankful for you guys, though, and the hilarious comments about our audio sucking were pretty great.
Yeah, thanks for,
dealing
with us.
Thank you.
You son of a bitch.
And Ben's here today. What's up, buddy?
What's up, man?
Oh, there you go. You can talk, yeah.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah. I got to play all my new clips off
Ooh,
the top.
Sandlot.
If it's your first time listening, I'm Joe. Jen's with me. Ben made it this time. Always got to give him shit for that. But seriously, if anybody can tell me in the chat if it sounds like shit, let me know. Okay. Otherwise, we're just going to keep going. But we had Matt Lehman on before several months ago now, and that was back when I was trying to use a different streaming service, and it got cut off halfway through, and I had to restart. It was fucking dog shit, and here he is back, cursing us with more technical difficulties. So thanks, Matt. How's it going, buddy? Good to see you.
Hey, what's up? I was hopeful to meet you guys in Malala, but I missed you over there, but I hope we can meet up sometime, because we're near each other somewhat. And hey, Ben, where are you located? And hi. Thanks for having me on.
Hi. You're no problem, man. Glad to have you again. Sorry for the sometimes shit show technological problems that it seems like everybody gets plagued with from time to time. I'm also in Reading temporarily, albeit.
Cool.
Moved back up here last January, and hopefully won't be spending more than less than 2 years from this moment, hopefully, before I get the fuck out of California.
Yeah, I feel it. Yeah, California is interesting. There's some.
Where are you at again?
I'm in Ashland. It's heart of the beast kind
right.
of place. Yeah, it's interesting to be where I'm at in the Rogue River Valley. I mean, they burned us out like a year and a half ago. They haven't rebuilt the town, you know, so it's still like ruins from that whole story, which is a show in and of itself. But yeah, Ashland's like total communist, just like California, but there's like Mount Shasta just south of me and places north of me that are chill. So it's
right.
Like I just got to get out of town to get to normality.
Yeah, we always told people.
Yeah, Ashland's only about 3 hours. We had family in Medford and Cave Junction right next to you guys. And actually, we still have family in Cave Junction. We've been up there multiple times over the 30 years to visit family up there. It's beautiful up there. I know that the people are definitely different than what all of you guys see up north from Portland.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good place.
But that's like saying that we're different from everyone else in California,
right?
Though, because we live in Shasta County. So we're in the normal part of California as well, where people are cool. Shasta and Tehama County are really, really awesome. And well, okay, compared to LA or San Francisco, we're fucking
I know.
Yeah, we're as I said, we always tell people we're in a weird bubble of California that nobody even fucking knows about. They all think of it as a beach with blue-haired liberals that love Biden, and it's just not the case for I'd say probably most of California at this point, especially now. But yeah, we're hoping to get up to Malala.
We saw the last election.
What county is Chico in? Is that Tehama as well?
That's
Butte County.
Oh, well, they seem pretty cool too. There's this publication, Lotus Guide. I've happened upon it, and it's like article after article, just like crushing the official narrative. And you know, as of late. So there's a few pretty cool counties I've found. They're just not on the coast anymore. They're definitely not on the coast anymore.
No, Humboldt is fucking awful. I think we've told that story. Went there about a year ago. It was last year.
Yeah, it was awful
as far as masks and shit and just the general liberalness. It was, we were like, oh God, what did we do?
We were in the dead of the mountains. We were in Weaverville, which is nowhere land, in the mountains, at the top of a mountain, basically. And we went to a coffee shop and we walked in thinking, they don't give a fuck. COVID isn't here. COVID doesn't live in the mountains. So
can't handle the cold.
They told us to put a mask on. The masks were up front. All of the workers were like behind a plexiglass and they're like, masks, and pointed, and Joe picks it up and puts it on his chin and was like, okay, can we order now? And they were like, yep, of course.
No, they're like, you need to put it over your nose.
Yeah, they did yell at you. It was kind of funny.
But that was a year ago. I think it's dying down. We talked about it a couple shows ago, maybe last show, about how COVID's taken a back seat to all the, you know, other world shit going on, which we covered in the last show, so we don't have to do that. But what have you been up to lately? Are you still, making another documentary, or are you just still slanging the Spiro gear?
I'm up to a lot. Yeah. It's, I've always got my different pots boiling over, hopefully. And it's, that's important because I'm usually pretty effing depressed too. Because the world's retarded, right? I mean, like, how can you not be? But it's like, you know, it's like waves. I think it's like the higher highs, the lower lows kind of thing, you know what I mean? So things are coming together really slowly but surely. I mean, the EMF protective clothing line, I'm coming out with new stuff. That's a beast in and of itself. Handling that, managing that, running that, it's amazing. And it's a dream come true as an activist to actually create like a revenue, you know, make money as an activist, because I'm protecting people in the end, and that's, you know, what I wanted to do. Working on Frankenskies 2, Climate Chains, and once it gets a little warmer, I'm going to be going around. I'm going to come down that way. I have this montage for the film. It's going to be a lot of stuff, but I have this montage of literally going up to people at farmers markets, like all over, like Nashville, Tennessee, whatever, wherever you guys are at, and literally going up to people, because I've done this before. I can size people up with like my intuition or whatever. Go right up to them with the microphone and say, how did you wake up to chemtrails, you know, and have this montage of people. That's going to be something so I can get around, because people's reactions are golden, especially when they do have an amazing story to tell and they're shocked that you would even know that they know about what it is, you know, even the fact that you would even approach them with that word, you know, and not be slandering it and being all crazy. It'll be interesting. So I'm going to get around. And I need to do some traveling anyways for a lot of reasons, especially getting this footage, you know. It's not just what like I've been like racking my brain about Frankenskies too. The first one I was getting activists and chronological footage and stuff, but now we're in modern day. There's no real specialists. All of them are bots. So like who would I really interview? Like some bot weatherman or some like quote whistleblower who's not even a whistleblower. It's more the real people, you know what I mean? And there is, you know, of course, the control media with Greta, and they're looking to, I mean, there's so much going on. There's in Sweden with Bill Gates this June, they're going to do the sun dimming experiment, which I've been fighting for a few years now. And it's like we're going to dim your sun. Welcome to the Matrix or Mr. Burns or whatever. You're welcome. We're going to spray chemtrails in the sky. It's called geoengineering, and they're going to normalize that. So that's a whole thing. But also what's really important is, I haven't been running from my problems. Like my friend growing up, he used to keep, because I grew up in Virginia, right? And he was like, moving to the West Coast is just going to fix all your problems. He kept saying that over and over, because I thought it's kind of like, I mean, I probably thought that, you know, in a sense, but it actually created more problems in my life. But eventually I went to film school and this and that and woke up to chemtrails. But where was I going with that?
You fixed all your problems moving over here, at least the pot problem. That's a big problem.
So, oh yeah, no kidding. You know, like I can't get in Virginia, you go, it's a felony for a half ounce. It's crazy, man. It's a really strict Commonwealth.
Holy shit.
So once I finally got over here and got to follow my dreams, yeah, we've got Frankenskies 2. Oh, so I haven't been running from my problems, which is, I'm 41 years old, and it's kind of like been my thing. Like if I didn't like it, I'm out of here, you know what I mean? I've had a lot of jobs. I love quitting jobs. I've had like 50 jobs, and it's just like I love walking out on a job that I hate.
It feels also pretty good.
Yeah, or even just like moving from a town that I hate. It's just like, all right, hate this place. Peace. Oh. Or like, you know what I mean?
It's that classic movie scene where you finally get to hold up the finger and walk out and go, I don't got to deal with anything that you guys think anymore. Bye bye.
How would you like to suck my butt?
Exactly like that.
Mr. Garrison. Yeah.
So a lot of people left Ashland. The town burned down for one, and then the job market got flipped upside down on its head. And then Black Lives Matter got really crazy with Antifa and the liberals and everyone being all crazy with that, because deep down they're upset because there's no black people in this town, and that's somehow got something to do with me. Like, it's ridiculous, right? And so
of course
the town
has to do with you. You're a white male.
Yeah, no kidding. But I don't. I grew up in the suburbs of Washington D.C. and I had a lot of black friends and stuff. And like,
sure,
this stuff is not like, dude. It's just. It's so ridiculous to me, the whole thing, because like it's a deep, everybody wants to be a victim in all these different ways, and they're being triggered by their mirrors, really. It's like, show me your victimhood, you know. So at the end of the day, over 60 or 70% of this town fled for numerous reasons. Economically is the primary reason, the people getting burned out, the housing market and all this stuff, and then the Shakespeare Festival stopped, and then all the cool people left because it's such a neoliberal town that like, who would want to be here? You know what I mean?
They eat themselves. And nobody likes it after a while. They're there, and then they notice it, and they're like, "Oh, this sucks." It's just
It's like, I'm moving to Florida. Peace. You know what I mean? Like, and who would want to?
They hang out. It's the same thing that we are seeing. I don't want to call them, you know, resistance fighters, but Carlos Zapata. Shout out to him and the Red, White, and Blueprint movement. And Recall Shasta, it's one of those, like, you hang in there because you don't want to run. You want to fight to make your community that you love better. But at some point, you have to sit there and look at it and go, you know what? Cut the anchor to save the ship. You guys can fucking eat yourselves alive. I'm out of here. And in my opinion, the only time that you have to get to that, and this is just me personally, is when my kids get involved. As soon as I start to see it get to a certain level where I go, I've tried. And this is going, in my opinion, to give my kids a very bad impression of their outlook on life, that victimhood mentality. I want to impart to them, like, hey, this isn't running from the problem as much as letting the problem work itself out and me washing my hands of it, because it's either going to collapse or it's going to reboot. But either way, I've tried what I can do. I've fought and hard, you know, I've hung in there long enough. At some point, you got to go.
Quit that job.
I do. I feel that. And you do have to leave that job. And where I'm at right now is the Rogue River Valley is pretty cool place. Ashland is just a very liberal place in a not liberal, like cool, you know, if you know about.
What liberals used to be?
Yeah. If you know about the area, it's really cool. There's a lot of pot growers and a lot of awesome people. It's
a lot of hippies.
Yeah, a lot of cool hippies. So where I'm at, and standing my ground, it's like today I showed my face when I went everywhere, right? I never put on the mask. So it's like I showed my face, and a lot of people didn't. And by going to the grocery store or the post office on the day that the post office is open or the movie theaters or whatever, and just doing that, that's like crazy activism. I realized it's unreal. So that's something. It's interesting. And then I'm leading the example for my kids and all this sort of stuff. So another thing is we were like searching around for holiday markets because I wanted to like have, you know, my products, grassroots, sell them around here. Every single one was like, yeah, if you wear a mask and show us your papers, you know, your medical records, you know, the proof of getting the experimental, whatever's going on. Yeah, the real deal around here. It's BS. So we were like, screw that, you know, holiday market. That's not. Happy.
Come down to Shasta County Holiday Market. They will totally accept you, dude.
And for people,
who
don't know, this is a localized store called Holiday Market. They're fucking dope for the most part. They have a lot of like, they're kind of like a health food store in a supermarket. They're really cool for the most part.
Yeah.
What we ended up doing.
Yeah, sorry.
No. Well, I just want to keep saying, we ended up having our own holiday market. We had 33 vendors, and it was for medical freedom, and it was all about not wearing masks. And the vendors didn't wear masks, and almost all of the patrons didn't wear masks. And it was amazing, and we killed it. And it was like this one-up victory. And we showed the kids what's up, and it was amazing. Also, the schools are being totally ridiculous. People are protesting out front of the schools because they're they've been wearing the kids, making the kids wear masks, but now they're saying they got to get the jab and whatnot. And we've had these breakaway schools that are thriving. They're like pods. It's like different grade levels. They're like 15 kids each. And we've got good teachers and all this stuff. So we've got breakaway schools, which is amazing. Breakaway markets, which is amazing. And then what else are we leading by doing? There's a few other things. We're just little micro things, man. Okay, I got an amazing story. So they tried to lock us down and like lock up the tennis courts, right? And it was just so stupid because everybody else was like playing basketball. Yeah, it's unreal. So I got bolt cutters and I opened up the tennis courts. But then they came back and put the bolts on, right? And I was like, okay, this is like stupid. Like someone's getting paid to come put a bolt on after I cut the bolts off. But I went and cut the bolts again, and literally, like, these kids walked in and started playing like it was nothing. Like they didn't even know there was a bolt, and I felt like I'd done something amazing for the neighborhood. And so there's this back and forth with the bolt cutting until I'd done it, like, four times. And I was like, I can't just keep cutting locks, you know, and maybe they'll get smart and, like, put a camera on me or something, you know. So I was like, I'm not going to do it anymore. And my girlfriend was like, come on, that was awesome. Like, every time you cut it, it's open for a couple of days. And I was like, yeah, but this is, like, a waste of my time and, like, I could be doing anything else, you know, but it was interesting. And it was this, like, the community and the powers and, like, F the man and kind of thing. And so I came back like a month later and the bolt had like been removed and I was like, oh, cool. They just decided. And then I look over there and some on the side and someone had literally cut the fence like the size of a human and like taken it out like a cartoon. Like there was no closing that. Like someone had come along and one up what I was doing with literally like,
yeah, that's fucking cool, dude. You
it was amazing.
Someone to be
so,
better.
So little step. So great. The point. Thank you, and I'm happy to pass it on to you. But you asked me what I'm doing. Is I'm doing a lot of kind of bigger things, but especially these tiny little baby steps. Oh, like the book libraries. We've got these book libraries, and so I got a bunch of copies of Fahrenheit 451 and 1984. You know, George Orwell. And I'm like, and my movie Frankenstein. And I'm like stocking up because in Ashland there's 30 and in the neighboring town Talon there's 20. You know, there's like 50 little book libraries to like get to the neighborhood in your own little way. Like people don't believe in the microcosm, you know, the ability to like reach people in like little ways. It's because of the conditioning of the movies, you know, Superman, Spider-Man, all these big things, and in an hour and a half they've saved the world. It's like, no, it's baby steps. You know what I mean? It starts with your community.
Yeah, they always have the hero thing. We talk about that a lot, the hero's journey, the, you know, all that kind of stuff where it's like, it's down to you. You're the one who can save the world. And it happens in an hour and a half. And no. We talked about that on the last show where I'm like, the people that actually care are doing things on a local level like you're doing, cutting bolts. That's Superman shit right there.
But you don't see it. So it's not instant gratification. So that's the problem. So we're trained in movies, like what you're saying, Matt, to think it's being narrated the whole time and you're seeing it like, oh, he's the one, he's going to save the world. But really, while it's happening, no one's narrating it to you while you're doing that. So you also have no idea how it's going to turn out. We don't get to watch the end first and then rewind it and figure out that what we're doing is the right thing.
No spoilers.
So while you're doing it, you just have to kind of know in your heart that what you're doing is the right thing. And then you see the effects later and then know, oh shit, that was really fucking cool what I just did. But we're trained to watch these movies, like what you're saying, and just feel that, oh, well, that's the only thing we could do. But you can do it on your own. You're just not going to feel anything while it's happening.
You have to trust in the journey.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing as those superhero movies. What they don't show, other than the main character, are all of the characters that made and gave the platform for that real big heroic moment. And I'm not saying that that's ever going to arise with somebody that is shown on TV or somebody that we know, but it's all of those people that don't get credited in the movies as characters in the movie that made all of that possible for that big moment that everybody wants and waits to, you know, see on the screen. Those little tiny things, that's what takes balls, in my opinion, especially going back for seconds, thirds, and fourths, is being able to go, yeah, you know what? I'm making this. I don't get it. I'm going to keep doing it because if it keeps a few kids outside rather than being cooped up inside with masks 6 feet apart where they can't talk to their friends, that's better.
And any experience, we don't even know that we're in it until we look back on it also. I mean, it's anything that's happening, we have to reflect on it to really gain something from it. So while you're doing it, you're in that moment. You're not going to notice. I mean, maybe you kind of hope for something good, but when you look back, it's like, oh, and then you see the effects.
I think Matt can see a big, broad picture of what he's doing. He knows what the fuck he's doing.
No, I know, but I think that what you did was fucking amazing, cutting the bolts a million times and then, or, you know, four times.
That sounds like something I would do in my head. Like, that's something I would do for sure, but I would probably just think about it and laugh and be like, that'd be funny if I did that. This motherfucker goes out there and does it.
Badass.
I really just wanted to play tennis, but to talk about the small little things, and people don't see the bigger picture because they don't trust in it, or they don't trust in like their destiny, or like they don't have any spiritual nature or anything like that, or they, you know, like they don't trust in the power of the seed or something like that, you know. When the first COVID narrative dropped, I was living in Humboldt, in Arcata on the coast, and I was like, no, if we don't put on the masks, if no one does it, it won't go into effect, you know. And everyone was just like, oh, no, and they all followed each other, right? But there's just like some little microcosm of following one another doing something else, right? It's like if someone's just following what the person next to them is doing, you know, like a bunch of lemurs, right? If we're just following what someone else is doing, and it's very minor, you know, very passive, whatever. I appreciate you saying that I know what the fuck I'm doing. With chemtrails, it's been such an amazing fucking journey, you guys. People have been contacting me lately after a couple, you know, years of this COVID narrative. And that I do, Matt, I had no idea when I watched Frankenstein that, like, you were opening up my fucking brain, dude. Like, people contacted me and said, Matt, I don't think it's right what you're doing. And I'm like, what do you mean? Because I really got that chemtrail movie shoved down a lot of people's throats in a lot of different ways and a lot of different platforms and whatnot. And some people weren't ready for it, you know? And so they hit me up and they're like, I shared it with my neighbors and they're just upset. They can't handle it at all, you know? And I'm like, okay, well, what would you rather not tell them? And they're like, well, yeah, now their reality's all dismantled and it's not fair, right? So now, fast forward a couple years from that experience, that person who actually lives somewhere near you guys in the middle of California, she contacted me and said, Matt, I'm actually sorry, I was wrong. I'm like, what do you mean? I said, and she goes, well, now that those seeds were planted, people can see through the narrative. Like, I never would have known that COVID was BS unless I knew chemtrails were real. And other people have contacted me just the same and said, just because I saw your movie, Matt, when the narrative came out, because also in Frankenstein's, it totally slams. I don't know if you've seen the movie. It's easy to watch like half the movie and be like, oh yeah, he made a movie with a bunch of clips. But once it gets to modern time, it's stuff that I filmed as well. So once gets to modern time and it starts totally tearing apart the mainstream media, and like, I think I've seen the movie a million times, it's a child's happiness is priceless on their birthday, and it's all the different newscasters saying the same exact scripted thing. A child's happiness is priceless on his birthday, and people's jaws just drop, and they're just like, "Wait, every news in the whole country was scripted to say this on the same day? It's so weird, right? It's like, no, we're going to manipulate the mind this way today. Oh, we're going to do it like this today. Oh, gas prices. Oh, Russia. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's like completely freaking scripted, and to be able to have basically your reality crumbled, which is okay if it's for a bigger purpose. You know, we can't see the future, right? For someone to have the seed planted right now that this is just some wag the dog nonsense with the World War III and stuff, whatever happens next, or actually Project Bluebeam, you guys know about that? Let's talk about this. You guys know about freaking Project Bluebeam? Okay. Learning about this, if you don't know about it, is going to be critical for what happens next. Maybe. Who freaking knows? Me and my friend, we did a bingo, end of the world bingo, because of Pluto return. God. You guys know about Pluto return and this astrology stuff.
I just heard about it.
As Pluto came back into our night sky, it like came across the night sky of Asia, and as it crept over to the Ukraine-Russia border, as it crossed the border, that's when the actual like war started. Like literally, like bombs hit. Like as the planet came, and now it's in the rotation now for like. It goes through each horoscope, so it's in each sign for like a dozen years each. So it's around now. So I think they're going to draw this stuff out. But either way, me and my friend did like a whole bingo thing, and war with Russia's on there. And then it says war with Russia nukes? Blue beam? It's like already, like we were talking about this forever already. So for people that don't know, chemtrails, so we're like fast forwarding to like, you can talk about chemtrails like very like first grade, you know, like they mix chemicals, like first grade level chemtrail talk. They mix chemicals to mess with the weather, you know, and they make it not rain. And then they're like, oh, it's not raining, you know, and stuff like that, right? So there's very advanced levels of that. Like they made Hurricane Katrina, or then there's like even more biological warfare and stuff. And like when you get to like more advanced, like college level, like chemtrail talk, there's holographic projections in the sky using mixed chemtrails as a screen, a 3D screen.
Right. They need a substrate to project it onto. You can't just put it out into the sky. You need something hover in there for it to bounce off of.
Yeah. So there was an activist, Patrick Roddy. And what's been interesting and crazy in the chemtrail space is like there's about 30 chemtrail activists. And I had a series of chemtrail conferences, and the last one culminated in Tucson to prevent Bill Gates from having this big experiment, because he was going to do the spray the skies, Mr. Burns stuff in Tucson, Arizona a few years ago. And we stopped him. It was an amazing success. We had a big protest and a concert. And on Mother's Day, we had the protest, and we had a big a conference the day before and a concert, and it was huge. And the whole city came together knowing that this experiment was going to happen, like spraying aluminum in the skies to dim the sun over their city. And it was protested. It was an amazing success. So in all the conferences I had, I met all the different chemtrail activists and got them all together and filmed them and what have you. And there's like 30 of them. It's amazing. A lot of them have like dropped off the radar or died or whatever recently. It's been really weird. And one of them was Patrick Roddy. And he made this website. He's out of San Francisco. He was like a brother to me. And then he went Looney Tunes, and there's talk that maybe he might have passed away recently. Who knows really what happened there? I'm still racking my head if he was like, you know, an MKUltra subject or a real person or whatever. But he's gone Looney Tunes. But he had this amazing website, stopsprayingus.com. And he collected all the rainwater analysis from all over the world. And through him, we had this great resource getting all this rainwater analyses from everywhere. And what was crazy, what was showing up in the rainwater analyses is terbium, which is like, I got to give a backstory for all this weird stuff. So terbium is like this rare earth element that, so when you get the rainwater analysis, it's like what comes down in the rain is usually clean water. Going up and going down through the hydrological process, which is like steam coming up and coming down. It's like distillation, distilled water, very clean. So it should just be clean. It shouldn't have heavy metals in it. And they'll try to say, oh, it's Russia and it's coal and all this stuff. It's like, we don't live right next to a coal burning power plant. It's like, shouldn't be high levels of all these things, especially on like high spray days. And then you get the samples of the water and it's like really high levels of aluminum. They're spraying aluminum. You know, it's not rocket science by now. And there's patents that match up to it and all this stuff. So the water started being tested for certain chemicals out of curiosity. And when terbium showed up, it's unreal, because terbium is very, very expensive, and it's used in like 3D television sets. So it's a rare earth element only mined in like weird mines in China. And it's used in like the tubes of the TVs to do 3D televisions. So I swear they're like spraying it up there to experiment, to figure it all out. But what they have is it's not just a flat screen. The sky is 3D. So they can create this 3D screen. And Project Bluebeam, which has been somewhat disclosed, is they've been experimenting on using it for either projecting like the second coming of Christ, like some religious thing, like God comes and during a war or whatever, or alien invasion, or whatever else you can think of that's weird and diabolical and has to do with like something in the sky that's dismantling so much that a new world order has to be created out of it. It could be freaking nukes, you know, like oh wait, we shot the nukes up, and oh no, tsunami, but like they can create tsunamis with HAARP, you know. They already have probably created tsunamis with HAARP. They totally mess with the weather all the time with HAARP, and the Haiti earthquake or whatever, that was HAARP. And we could talk about what that is, you know. That's,
what do you think, like, is that the Tonga thing? Or because there, remember that underwater volcano that happened a couple months ago?
That seems like it's normalizing something that's on the bingo card that could be coming up pretty soon, I think. Yeah, which would be like, Yeah, that was weird. And that looked more like an explosion than like some volcano going
sure.
off. Like,
you're going to need to see your bingo cards, by the way, at some point.
Yeah, I would. I got to get that like really ironed out, and I can grab it next time I see you. Or we can get in on it, because I want to actually do it like a pool, like actual money and stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, hell yeah.
I used to work different jobs, you know, and when I worked at bars and restaurants and stuff, there's always those cool Super Bowl squares, you know?
Yeah. No, I can only afford 5 cents a square, those, but let me know.
Cool. Perfect. Yeah, no, that'd be great. It's all about like the gambling, in my opinion. I've got
go more into the... your ideas on the blue beam and the weird element you found, because I've never heard of that.
Terbium?
And yeah, the thing you said was in
terbium would help them like with their projection of like 3D stuff. So here's the deal with the chemtrails and all the other deeper conspiracy stuff. When you're talking to people, like the biggest obstacle and the biggest goal for me is to be able to meet people where they're at and to convey this message to them and not have them walking away being like, oh, that was a crazy person. So I got to be able to talk to my grandmother, my coworker, everybody, my peers, I mean, whoever, and convey these messages and talk to them about it. So regarding the chemtrails, is the sound okay? I get a little feedback there. Regarding the chemtrails and the Project Bluebeam and what have you, it's like the question that always comes up with like normal, quote unquote, normal people, and my grandmother, my mom, or anybody, you know, you want to talk to about like chemtrails or something like that, nefarious stuff. Like, oh no, it's actually an experimentation. You know, there's graphene or whatever, you know, they always say, well, like, how could they possibly do that to us? Why would they do that to themselves? All these same questions come up. And you have to like put yourself in their shoes, these like evil sociopaths. And what these evil sociopaths at these evil group think tanks, when they come together, Bohemian Grove, whatever it is, they're thinking out like 10 years, Agenda 2030 or whatever it is.
Right.
And by these certain times, they want to have some like super weird dystopia, like out of different Demolition Man, if you've seen that one recently or whatever. So it's a good one. So how can they get from A to Z, right? They're going to set us up slowly but surely, but then pull the rug out from underneath us. So the past couple of years has been a slow but sure. So by 2030, probably, they want like transhumanism coming in full steam, transfer of human consciousness to like a cyborg clone version of yourself. Smart cities that are totally 5G'd out, that like have crazy AI, social credit, all this stuff like out of a China dystopia. Like they want this like 8 years from now, and with a new world order, and they want cashless and all this stuff. Maybe they want it in 2050, whatever they want.
Lately too, like right. Really hard.
Right. So they're setting up their cards. So if you were in their shoes, I know like dismantle, get rid of your heart and your soul and think about like being like an evil villain in a movie or something. Okay. If you were in their shoes, what would you do with all of your tools that you have, which is these resources like HARP and all this, you know, AI and all this nonsense? Well, what has happened recently with where I live, for instance, it's like, dude, is it even a rule anymore that to wear a mask outside, you know? But people either choose freedom or fear, okay? And if you really think about it in a spiritual way, it's kind of like the rapture in like a very slow, drawn out, weird way. These people are being given choice. Everyone's being given choice right now. And it's free will in a weird way. And it's like freedom or fear. And what I mean by that in fear is you're going to be told what is reality, and you're not going to question it. You're not going to choose truth, you know? Or you're not going to question it
already, too. I mean,
right. So they've primed all these humans to be ready to just accept whatever's next.
Yep.
And to me, that's very smart and wise. And they've done this over a couple years. They've been programming these people for generations, but they did their final touches, and they're going to literally tell the whole country in like a month or something, you're all allowed to take off your masks. And there will still be like, I don't know, half the country, 30% or whatever, like half of where I live at least, will still be wearing it.
Oh,
they will do it. They will choose fear, right? It's because they're not going to get deprogrammed from the programming of the fear. It's like, oh, now we'll give you a choice. You know, you can live with the possibility of dying from COVID, or you can be safe with this, this, and this. You know, it's just like, it's, there's still, but it's a setup, right? There's, it seems to me, in a logical perspective, like on my bingo card, is like the bingo cards are kind of deep and it's this deeper setup. So they were like, okay, you guys, COVID's pretty much over. You can go outside. But guess what? Nuclear war. And now we're all chatterboxing about this. And now it's fear about this. That'll probably get drawn out. And then all of a sudden, when everyone thinks it's just like hunky-dory, something like a, probably a cyber attack. You know, like how did we get into the last wars or whatever? Oh, weapons of mass destruction or whatever. Lies. 9/11, lies. What, I mean, like something's going to happen to escalate, and then even more, and what have you. And if I was the boogeyman and going to these New World Order meetings, I would be like, look, we're going to lull them to sleep, and then we're going to pull out all of our shit at once. You know what I mean? So, like, if they can make a tidal wave, and dude, they've been telling people in a weird way, like, get off the coast. There's global warming and this, like, in a weird way, they're disclosing that there's going to be food shortages. In a weird way, they're disclosing certain things. And I don't, and then even like the predictive programming and all the movies of like the tidal waves and all this sort of stuff, it seems to me, oh, and I've been reading Rudolf Steiner, I've been amassing books and whatnot, and this like transhumanism agenda to get from A to Z for it to really happen. It seems like San Francisco or LA needs to get dismantled in a weird way in the next decade or two, you know, but probably pretty soon. So there'll be some.
I think San Francisco's pretty well dismantled already. It's covered in human feces, and it just looks like.
Well, that's right. I think you're right on that. So maybe nothing even needs to happen. But some, it seems like something's building, you know. And that's just my, maybe my paranoid, conspiratorial. Oh, and we lost Homie, right? I guess he lost his internet kind of phased out.
No, I think he's probably telling his kid goodnight or something. He does this about halfway through the show every week, but he'll come back. But no, that's interesting because it does seem like something is building. It's building and building and building. And just today, Jen was reading something about Putin with his finger on the nuclear trigger or something. I'm like, this is so ridiculous. Like, we could have called this. If nobody did, we should have called this. Like, this is such a theatrical production they're doing right here. It's like,
but all the news, so all the news is the same way. So I was reading, I read the news, obviously. I'm not like, oh my God, this is happening. Like, no, I know it's not. So Putin has his finger on nuclear, it's like nuclear deterrence. So like they're trying to deter attacks with nuclear weapons. They're not trying to shoot it at anyone, according, so we're told. So, and then also at the same time, Bill Gates says that vaccines are pointless in Africa because globally, there's a 70% vaccination rate, and people are outraged. That was the headline. People are outraged that Bill Gates is saying this. And it's like, well, wow, because you all dumb fucks were listening to him, like, I don't know, for the last 2 years.
Isn't he God?
And totally following his advice. Meanwhile, we were just like, yeah, we're not doing anything that guy says, or and who cares? It's fine. No,
if you want to get bitch tits, follow what that dude says.
It just doesn't make sense. And if I think, I will say that our little community is growing bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's causing a problem for them. They have to constantly, and I do say, I think it's a little bit AI that's running this fucking game and a little bit elites. And I think they're constantly going, recalculating, and they're constantly like having to change their tune. Yes, like an old GPS system from the fucking early 2000s, because we're throwing their game off. And I think that's fucking amazing. So every time we say, hey, you know what? We're not going to do this. And then more people follow us, like you were saying, Matt, that people, and people do. My whole family lives in Massachusetts, and they all fell in line. And I love them to death. And I hope nothing happens to them for all getting vaccinated and wearing masks all the time. But that's what they did, because people are dying in hospitals and the unvaccinated are filling up whatever. But I think that the little things that we're doing are super important. And when we get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then you can see the narrative in the media just shitting on everybody who's not wearing a mask. It's like, oh shit. Okay. We're doing it right. That's cool. Makes me happy.
No kidding. And I, the AI, you said it's partly the AI and they're recalibrating like an old GPS. I was thinking about that exact thing recently, And then it clicked that whole anal swabs thing that came from the quantum computer. That came from it. It didn't come from some logical human. It was like, I want to see what humanity does to this input. I've really thought about that. And maybe I'm off, but I think it could be very true. And I was roundabout like explaining. I never really explained what Bluebeam actually, like, you know, what I think that the terbium and all that sort of stuff. So no, yeah. with the chemtrails,
I have to pee pee. So explain that, like, from the ground up about how Bluebeam is, if nobody's aware of it, and I'll be right back.
Yeah, we've definitely heard of it, but explain it for our listeners, please, because it's awesome. I like it.
Yeah, so different chemicals are mixed in the atmosphere, and that happens to manipulate the weather and to do all sorts of different stuff. But if you mix terbium in and try to make a projector screen and all this stuff, they've been perfecting that. And there's this thing called the Norway spiral, and even these weird like rocket launches that they say it's a Tesla, Elon Musk, SpaceX rocket launch going over freaking LA, but it looks all weird. I think that could be actually Bluebeam being tested and what have you. So there's some weird stuff already happening in our skies that look like portals and weird nonsense. And so what they do is they'll mix chemicals in the sky, night sky or whatever it is. It might even take days to get all these chemicals all mixed perfectly in the sky. And they'll zap them to charge them with intersecting radio frequencies, which is HARP, which is another story. So HARP is an acronym. It's H-A-A-R-P. It stands for Highly Active Auroral Research Program, or High Altitude Auroral Research Program. Started off in Alaska. And what it was picking a focal point in the atmosphere and having this ground-based station have intersecting radio waves in the atmosphere and in a portion of the atmosphere. And then by doing so, it's like what microwaves do is two microwaves, which are radio waves, they intersect at a focal point, which is the food, and it heats it up. So they learned how to heat up portions of the atmosphere by having intersecting radio waves or microwaves being shot in the atmosphere and intersecting each other anywhere on the globe or the planet. So then, I don't know if the Earth is a globe. That just slipped. So that's another story.
It doesn't matter if
everybody wants to judge me.
Flat, in my opinion, we've actually had a flat Earth debate like a month ago. Cool. It's just to hear like people's opinions, because we actually don't give a fuck. It doesn't affect me in any way at all. It's cool. I don't care. It's all good.
Yeah, a lot of people are coming to that because. Of the debate around, there's so much aggravated debate, and there's at the end of the day, it's hard to prove anything if you can't see it with your own eyes, and then that gets you there. So, what could happen? So here's the ultimate like conspiracy: is that world war happens and there's nukes shot in the sky, and then with the use of Project Bluebeam. Aliens show up, good or bad, either way, and they're like, "Oh, they stop the nukes. We'll save humans, you know." And then they're like, "Look," or maybe like a tidal wave goes off and like some humans die. But either way, the aliens show up and they like stop the nukes, or they get involved in some weird way. You know, I can't predict it all, but then. It's like, oh, well, all the religions were wrong. The new world religion is going to be based on this alien thing or whatever. And then there's the new world. Like, how do you get from A to Z to have a new world order is what I'm saying.
Who's to say that all of the religions aren't based on aliens in the first place? Like, if you check out Mayan Egyptian, I don't know.
So the idea is that something really nefarious and weird is going to happen in the sky with the use of the holographic projections. Like they could actually have aliens invade and then have all the governments actually come together and fight them. And then we have the, you know, we come together in this new world, you know, unity. Like, how do we unify over what? What's going to be the obstacle? Is it going to be a good or bad reason or whatever it is? Is it going to come out of this stupidity over, you know, wag the dog, Russia nonsense, you know? So that's the whole Bluebeam thing. In a nutshell, it would be just like, what I think it could possibly be is an asteroid hits somewhere, and they some people maybe see it in the sky because they can do the hologram, but most people just see some CGI nonsense on TV. And then that big asteroid causes like crazy earthquakes and fault line nonsense and tsunami nonsense. And then, you know, everyone's got to build back better and build back stronger. And then these AI dystopian smart city Judge Dredd nonsense gets, you know, built out of from the ground up, like RoboCop and all that sort of stuff, you know.
Well, it kind of seems like it's building towards a Truman Show thing. You know, at the end when he's trying to get out and they're making like crazy tidal waves or, you know, big waves and he's trying to get out of the fight. Everything seems like the Truman Show where everything's so orchestrated and we're seeing exactly what we're supposed to see at every time to make sure that we don't escape out of whatever the fuck we're
reminds me of Hunger Games a lot, where they have the whole world where they can play it and they can push a button and make it do whatever horrible thing and everybody reacts to that thing and then they all panic, freak out and try to kill each other or fall in line, whatever. I don't know. And they're in this controlled environment.
But too. Doesn't it sound like end time shit too? Like, I mean, Revelation talks about this, tsunamis, rumors of war. And I always thought that was funny because I'm like, wars and rumors of wars. That's happened the entire time I've been alive and the entire time everybody I know has been alive. So that's not really a good marker for the end of the world, but it just seems like it's ramped up so much now. And with movies coming out like Don't Look Up, we just referenced that the other day about the comet coming to hit Earth. And they're like, no, don't worry about it. Just listen to the scientists. Everything is just pointing towards this buildup of shit. And it's hard to focus on one particular thing. It's like, is it Russia? Is it an asteroid? Is it aliens? Is it tsunamis? Is it earthquake? You know, it's hard to like parse all of this out at once. But you're doing a good job, way better than me.
The confusion makes people fall in line, though. That helps with the narrative. If you're so confused and you don't know what to do, you're just going to be like, fuck, I'm going to do whatever keeps me at homeostasis in my brain. You just want to be normal. You want to feel normal.
Well, that's what they do with the chemtrails, is they keep everyone confused. They have everyone debating, the constituents and if it's a contrail or a chemtrail. And I learned recently that the contrail whole thing is a con, and that's just to like polarize the argument and make us all wigged out and what have you. But that's like, you know, neither here nor there. You don't need to listen to me. You just got to look at the sky. If you watch the sky long enough, you can see them mixing stuff together. And sometimes it's like a medium trail next to a short trail or a long trail next to a short trail, whatever. And they're mixing crap. You know, there's so much going on in the sky nowadays. People, I have like this Facebook following or whatever, and people are blowing up my feed with their photos. It's definitely getting worse. To what ends, you know? If you've seen there's so many dystopian movies, but they've made now a series about the Ice Age movie, Storm Fury. They have to spray because of global warming, which is this is the whole narrative. So we're all entering into this dystopian narrative together where Snowpiercer. Have you all seen that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're spraying the skies at the very beginning of the movie with chemtrails. And then the reasoning behind it is because, oh, global warming got so bad. We have to, if they do spray aluminum in the skies, a real greenhouse effect will destroy the planet and we'll go into some crazy heating. You know, it's like people don't realize, okay, so then you know how there's climate protests and like, we need action on climate change. They don't even know what they're asking for. They have no clue. You realize that? No. Like the action on climate change is geoengineering. It's dimming our sun with this Bill Gates, like total, you know, they don't realize that that's the answer. They think that they're asking for what, like a decrease in carbon emissions, which carbon isn't, I mean, this whole thing has been like hatched up to get us like down a totally different path to have us begging for our demise. I mean, like global warming, where are you guys with that one?
Okay, so first of all, carbon is what feeds the plants. The sun also feeds the plants. And you know what plants do with carbon? They expel oxygen, which is good for fucking humans. So I don't know where this whole carbon thing came from. It's like, that's what the plants, it's got electrolytes.
What plants crave.
It's got what plants crave. They want the carbon. They want the CO2 because that's what they fucking eat. So to like starve them of carbon or the sunlight makes no fucking sense if you just think about it for like a half a second. So this whole like carbon tax thing, it's like, oh, we can fix climate change. You just got to pay us.
It's probably because like, they're killing the rainforest and they're like, fuck, we don't have enough trees to take up all this carbon we're putting out. I don't know.
It's just,
well, you know, I was going to say, if they really cared, they'd be doing tree planting campaigns like crazy. Like it would be a thing, you know, at least give a try, like Greenpeace or somebody. I mean, come on. I've never heard of that. But
carbon really well, fucking trees. Crazy,
the
right?
National Park Service does. So I used to work for the National Park Service, and we planted a whole prairie. We grew seeds and planted an entire prairie in Indiana because they were trying to recreate a prairie for whatever reason. I thought that that was actually kind of dumb, but it's fine. They were regrowing plants that were native to that area. I thought it was dumb to actually regrow a prairie. Wait, doesn't matter. But just any sort of plant, you can plant them and let them grow. Just do it. But yeah, they're terrible.
Yeah, no kidding. And then did you guys see like the China Olympics or the Super Bowl? I mean, there's so many things. Like, I think we're in for it this year. The New World Order kind of. Oh, I got one. I went to the movies the other day. It was like, I think it was a matinee. So it was $6.75 or $6.75, right? Whatever it was, my change was a quarter. And the lady was like, the young girl behind the counter, you know, with a mask on, I'm not wearing mine. You know, she goes, do you want your quarter? And I'm like, you know, I'm used to like the grocery store, like guilt tripping me for some stupid donation to something that's probably like some propaganda nonsense that I usually say no to because it is. It's usually some like crazy neoliberal nonsense that the grocery store is like, oh, you don't want to round up for that? And I'm like, actually, you know what that's actually for? You know what I'm saying? So I was like, wait, oh, like for a charity? You know, you want the quarter for the charity? You know, at the movies, you know, because I had to go see that Moon, the crazy Moon movie, which was horrible. So, I mean, do you guys like sci-fi movies? The Moon was like AI, and there was a little bit of disclosure probably about the Moon being like, I don't even know what, but it was out of control. It was way too long. Moon, you know, whatever, Moon, the attack of the Moon or whatever. But I got to the bottom of it. I'm like, why do you want my quarter? And she's like, well, I'm just doing my, playing my part, you know, there's a coin shortage.
Oh my
God. Right? And I'm like, so you guys keeping the quarter is playing your part because of, because, you know, coins and the coin shortage. Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. And I go, you know about the New World Order? You know about cashless systems and what that really means? I was like, did you know in Canada they stopped printing the penny because it cost them too much money? We still have pennies. Like, come on, what are you talking about, coin shortage? Like, we have a new coin this year. Like there's still, I mean, a new quarter. Like, they're still cranking out coins. Like, do you guys know, you guys ever go to the Mint as a field trip or something when you're kids? We went to Mint. We went to the Philadelphia Mint, dude. These things are, like, cranking out money all the time. Like, they got money. They got coins. Like, this is just all social engineering. And they don't think it could be nefarious.
Shortage.
Yeah. That was the thing. The coin shortage thing was like mid-2020, if I remember right. And it was just like one of those another brick in the wall things where I was like, this is fucking retarded. I went to the store and they're like, can you please pay an exact change? I'm like, no, I don't have exact change. I don't know how much this shit costs.
Sorry,
like,
I don't have fucking cash. I'll use my card. Fuck you. And they said
they want that too, though.
The meat shortage thing was the same. They were like, there's a meat shortage. We might be low on bacon. And they just say these shortages. The signs must be pre-printed by whatever AI is running our world. And they're like, okay, put these up all over. And yeah, people do.
Yeah. I deliver.
You guys want to talk about something sensitive? What's your take on the trucker convoy thing?
So that is sensitive. I've talked about it a little bit, and people do get rather sensitive about it. They do. I was.
How about I go there? I can go there because I got slammed right, so
start,
hard.
Yeah, you start, man. Everyone's heard my opinion.
Total fucking bullshit. It's totally like in the cards, New World Order agenda. Like, come on. Like, okay, if everything's been total BS the whole time. Dude, truckers aren't just going to come out. Do you know how much truckers make? They're not the truckers. I mean, like, I know there's good intentions out of people and stuff like that. Okay. Has anybody ever had a GoFundMe? You guys ever had a GoFundMe account? GoFundMe
no.
plan?
I never have, no.
Okay. It's hard to raise money on there. They don't, like, support people who are trying to, like, topple Canadian governments. You can't just raise millions of dollars for one. And, like, I had to, like when it was first happening, I was like, look, people, do not give them any money. This is stupid. Like, 5 million. Oh, my gosh. There's two people on crowdfund. One person who's got, like, KKK, whatever background. Another person, BJ Dichter was the person running the crowdfund that was going to just hand out $9 million. Oh, yeah. How are you going to do that? Okay. And, like, I'm bitter, you guys. Like, I've got, like, this arm has, like, titanium in it from getting, like, jumped, and, like, I can't feel these fingers, and, like, I've been through shit, and, like, I I had to go, and it's whatever. I'm not like Crimea River. I'm like, I've gone through some stuff enough for me not to just have perfectly rose-colored glasses. Like when I look at the fluffy clouds, I'm like, they probably got poison in them too. You know what I'm saying? Like at this point, you know, like everyone wants to be like, oh yeah, but it's just like, it's not. It's none of it is happy-go-lucky times anymore. Okay, for instance, and I probably am going to get off track, but I'm going to these like different meetings, and there's parent meetings of these parents in this town, right? And they won't even admit that we're like at war. They're like, oh, my kid is just going to be a couple more years in high school. And I'm like, a couple more years? Like, what do you think this is? Like, no one wants to admit that we're in a war zone. Like, that things right. are escalating, that things are not going to go away, that every single thing you see is, like you said, another brick in the wall, a stepping stone towards something else. Like, they're not just going to be like, oh, take off your mask, and then, oh, a war! The war is just something coincidental. It's like, I mean, I got an MBA and I did statistics and all this stuff, and like I could see numbers, and I used to gamble like crazy, and like gamble on anything you can imagine, and like I see blackjack and poker and numbers and things, you know, stock market. I played the stock market start when I was 15 for like 30 years, you know, and it's like I'm not gonna get fooled by 99.9% survival rate, you know, and some people just like somehow are. So, okay, where was the tangent? I'm sorry, you guys. Where did I start off?
So that's interesting.
Oh, the truckers. Okay, so yeah. I've tried to raise money on crowdfunds and stuff like that. And firstly, the crowdfund was bogus. Secondly, when you see, and I hate Elon Musk. I'm sorry if anybody likes him or whatever, but he seems to be like.
You're good. It's cool. Getting, you're in the safe place.
He's like fanboy. Everyone like loves him. And like, okay, he like.
He's a created person.
Yeah, he's literally at those New World Order meetings. They're like, what are we going to do with this guy? Well, how are we going to program our robot today? Like, he's probably possessed or something like that. I had a friend who knew him because he had a solar company and ended up selling it to him. And he said when he met Elon Musk, the dude was just like shoveling ice cream down his throat, like probably like possessed demonic. Either way, he got on board and was like, oh, go Canadian truckers. And people are like, oh, it's not in the mainstream. It's not in the mainstream. He's getting people all rallied, like, oh, Canadian truckers rule was his meme, while simultaneously launching his self-driving trucks in Texas. Okay.
Yeah. And then, I mentioned that somebody got upset the other day. I was like, this is a self-driving truck thing, right? He was not having it.
Yeah. So at the same, so Elon Musk is literally like playing the world, and like there's no Department of Justice or anything like how there used to be, because there's all these conflict of interest things going on everywhere, you know? So what ended up happening, people, is like everyone lost their rights, and now it's like martial law, and Trudeau can freeze bank accounts for anybody who donated to GoFundMe. The GoFundMe money didn't go. Like, say you donated $2,000, and like that was a lot of money to you. It didn't
vaporize.
It didn't go to the truckers, and it got donated to whoever they wanted to. Do you know that like in Redwood City, GoFundMe is like right next to like Solar City and Tesla and Elon Musk's like house. Like, these people go to dinner together, you guys.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Okay. It's just like people don't get it. They're like, oh, go. And like my homeschool people are making crayon, and we're following the trucker's path, and there's Amish people baking them cookies and stuff. And I have to be like the asshole by being like, come on, trust your gut, trust your intuition. How could they all of a sudden be? And then of course, this is right in the midst of all of this programming of food shortages. Where does the food come from? How does it get from A to Z? You know? Also, have you guys like ever worked as a trucker or anything like that? Most of them do not own those trucks. They can't just go.
Very few.
They can't just go and do that. You know? So it's going to be short. They get paid by the mile, like 45 cents a mile or something like that. They don't own the trucks. Okay? And all of this talk of like the U.S. truckers are here, 10,000 of them. No, that wasn't even real. They can't cross the borders. Like if you watch the Canadian borders, like all of this logic went out the door for this fake hope, fake light, right? Which is like probably what's going to happen in the sky. Like that's what they prophesize is like a fake. Like what does Illuminati even stand for? Like fake light or something like that? Or I don't even know. But like, what if it's like the second coming of Christ, but hidden as Satan, and then they gave him a body, and they're like, no, it's God, or whatever. It's like, there's some weird, weird stuff on the horizon, but it ain't good, man. And it's like people's hope is just being dismantled over and over. And by the time, like, so it's like lose-lose. Either you wake up and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to get my $2,000 back, and it was all a sham the whole time, and I had hope, and I'm an idiot. Or you like believe it hook, line, and sinker, and you're still thinking like, what? Because the truckers got dismantled, and now like they're still in like martial law over there, and they're pushing it like China's. I mean, that's Canada's exactly becoming like the China. Is, you know, yeah, social credit, all that stuff.
Yeah, assuming all of it was real, what happened? Did they fix anything? Did anything change? No, everything went back to normal, and Trudeau probably has more power than ever now. So what did they help? Like, what helped? What happened?
And it was engineered crazy storms and ice storms and cold as all can be. So people were like, okay. Matt, how dare you? Matt, how dare you? You have a social media influence. Why aren't you telling people to go there? I'm like, telling people to go to the sub-zero temperatures, to stand around, to occupy a capital city, to do what? For what? Like, I think, like first thing I do is I ask my gut. And it started with, like, gambling. It started with stock market. And, like, if you're going to lose your ass, you can feel it, man. Like, if you've, like, made the wrong bet or whatever it is, or, you know, like, you buy a stock and it's, like, plummeting, and you're like, oh, no, it'll come back. Your gut's like, no, it's not, dude. Or whatever it is. Or if you're about to get, like, jumped or whatever, there's, like, street smarts. Like, your gut knows. Everyone has had that sinking feeling in their gut, like right before they got in a car accident, right before the police came or something, or like right before you got dumped or you found out you got cheated on, whatever the heck it is, your gut knows, man. It's this connection to like, well, I don't even know what it is, divine force or whatever, but like if you know about muscle testing or whatever, your body knows. So just, you know, you don't have to listen to me or listen to somebody who's over there being like, you know, believe in the truckers, send your money here and there. Cause there's so many people who are like, I went through and I was like, okay, I don't trust these people anymore. Cause if they're like begging people to get involved, and what are our bank accounts really frozen? I don't even know what's up with all that, you know, but at the end of the day, what did it do? It divided us more and more and more. And the quantum computer, really what it wants is it wants us divided so much that we come bat each other and fight each other, you know, cause the stars are aligning. The stars are aligning for like a change of government and like a toppling and like a revolution. And they really want to spin that out and steer it into a civil war of some sort, however they can do it. So it's like divide, 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 divide. And at the end of the day, the truthers are going to be like the, you know, domestic terrorists and all this nonsense, because we'll be over here saying that it wasn't Russian hackers that, you know, whatever, attacked the grid or whatever, because this hacker nonsense. They remember before, like a little bit ago, when gas prices went up, and they said it was like Russian hackers. It was like a year and a half ago or something. Remember that?
Yeah,
it actually happened, and they could just pull that again.
Yeah, we're in California. We definitely felt it.
Yeah, it hurts. Cool. It hurts my butt every time I fill up.
I had to change the battery in my car the other day, and this is going to sound kind of shitty to our existence, but as I was changing the battery, I was like, okay, I hope this fucking works, because the battery in my car has been kind of shitty lately. And I put the new one in and I was like, polarize. And that's kind of like what the world's doing. I feel like we're batteries and all of this crazy nonsense. I was wondering if everything that's going on in the world right now was minusculely, kind of like Rick and Morty style, was happening in my battery. I'm like, go to war, fuckers. Polarize. I need this shit to work because I need to turn it on. And
your microverse battery.
Yeah. It's the quantum carburetor.
I believe it. Everyone's micro, like family life and stuff, is everything's happening. It's all like a choice of victimhood and like a reflection of oneself, and all it keeps coming down to victimhood. I think it's like kind of spiritual and like karmic, like kind of like the reason why we're here is to own our shit, you know? And either we face it and like be like, this is who I am. Yeah, this is me. Or we're like, oh, I'm going to be a victim because he's showing his face. And like, and it comes, you know, you just get stuck in this kind of like, I'm not going to own, you know, it's like a child, right? It's like a child that has done, you know, some things wrong, but wants to play the victim and not get in trouble for what they've done. And they're going to literally
feel like a magnet to you. Like, I'm not trying to cut you off, but doesn't that feel like a magnet?
Do.
When you see someone doing that, don't you just want to kind of like go away from them? Not, and maybe you want to get closer and explain things, but when we see things, when we see people do things that are very different that we hate, we're like, ew, no. And we go away. And I think it creates energy for something else. I'm being weird and saying my weird shit.
No, you're right. It's like a dismantling.
It creates some sort of energy that we don't even fucking know about. It's definitely not on our radar. It's definitely not on CNN. But there's something else going on with the mental human energy that's created by disagreeing with something or getting super angry. I think super happy is okay. In a certain way, as long as there's no negative intention. But I think there's something about hating something or being so negative and being mad about it that the big elites want. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. But I find some power in divine rage. Like, I find some really prophetic moments when I'm like so pissed off that like I can't even like see straight. You know what I'm saying? I think it's like frequency and vibration. Higher highs, lower lows, higher highs. And the powers that be, they don't know what they're even dealing with. I mean, like, I don't even know what happened to our true history or whatever. But I think that this war on consciousness has been going on for a while. And so they're trying it different ways because I don't think that they were able to win before. You know, like, everything was turned to stone before or something like that because they couldn't win. And so they're trying to figure out ways to win. And they're not going to win this time either, right?
No way. Because, we're giving them a fucking run for their money right now, right?
Yeah. Well, it's vibratory, I think. It's vibration. So the more that they stoop everybody to their lows, then we, like, get mad at that. And, like, we either, like, get angry and there's fear and all those, like, a lower vibration frequency, which they like and they get to feed off of. Or there's, like, something righteous coming out of it. Like, for instance, sometimes I'm around kids and they're like 8 and 10 and what have you. Some of these parents around here are really cool. Like the groups that I'm around, we're forming like little collectives of like cool people that the kids aren't wearing masks or anything. And so they're seeing their peers as kind of like sellouts or whatever. Right. But so they're not getting angry because they're kids. Right. They're seeing the truth in a totally different way. And the way that they're like dismantling reality and coming through it is like even if they're like mad about it, it's kind of hard to explain, but they're creating a vibration that the low of the vibration is not fear. So it's going to be like a whole higher vibration that they create because they're going to see it in a different way. That's all like truth. You know, I think part of the dismantling is through all the lies. They want people to resonate with the lies, thinking that it's the light. It's all like, that's the age we're in, right? It's like completely like falsehoods, trying to tell people this is the truth, which is like falsehoods, like lies. Like fluoride is good for you. It's actually the opposite. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like a lot of that unraveling right
all
now.
All the innocent shit, yeah.
But if you can flip it on its head and really see it for what it is, it completely dismantles it and it makes you so much more powerful than before, than you would have been. You know, like imagine a kid just growing up slowly in a world that's like slow and steady, like what we had before. It's not the same as them actually recognizing truth and picking a side, you know, subconsciously at first. Yeah. But then like when their friends are like, here's the mask. And they're like, actually, what? You know, like they're making that decision at a young age. If we were given that, we'd be like superheroes by now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I love that analogy, actually, or not analogy, but real life example with kids, because they're so innocent. It's not the same as us where we've seen it and we're painted as humans or whatever. Kids don't have that. They just, you know, abhor it honestly on their own. They're like, oh, that shit's dumb. And they don't mean it. They're not putting out any negative energy, really. They just dislike it and choose to not do it. So I think that's fucking awesome.
The kids are the future for sure. And they're the only things really that we can fight for, and like leading the way for them is the most important thing. I feel like some parents are getting it. A lot of parents are on the fence and what have you. I think an even more powerful aspect will be like parents that are totally lame and kids that are like rebelling from that. So like when we grew up, we'd rebel and what, like go smoke a cigarette or something. Like we wouldn't like honor truth as our rebellion. So that's like creating a whole new form of the warrior rebel consciousness in and of itself. And the quantum computer, as much as it wants to like think it knows, the refinement of like the human spirit, and like we're not gonna back down. Like the more like the more obstacles that I have, it actually like
empowers you.
Yeah, it empowers me. There's a Chinese proverb, let the obstacle be the path. But it's like even deeper, it's like the obstacle like empowers me to even go on the journey. You know?
Oh, yeah.
It's like part of the ego being stoked. It's like, oh, you wanna fuck with me? Like, okay, cool, let's do this. Otherwise, I'd just be like sleeping, playing video games or something. You know, I wouldn't have a challenge or anything to worry about, you know?
Yeah. So I always love to close with this. Everybody knows this. But before we get out of here, what's your predictions for what's going on next? Like the next 6 months or next year or next 5 years? Like what do you see coming with all the shit that we've been talking about tonight?
Well, 5 years is pretty far out for sure. I go to the post office every single day, and there's a big blue recycling bin, and I dig through other people's mail like some like psychopath, and it's terrific because I get like calendars that people don't want, or like packaging material for my company and stuff like that. And it's like, oh yeah, it's probably a federal offense. But either way, I open up stuff, right? Right. And this is going somewhere.
Awesome.
So with no mask, and people are like, "What the hell is this guy doing?" And usually, I'm just like looking like at a catalog to see how my company can like do better or something like that. But is it right here? I wonder if it's right here. There's some unreal hate mail going around, hate mail propaganda stuff. It's unbelievable, and it's race oriented. The ALCU, so I think based on people's mail, there is some provoking of this extreme sides of racism, and there's this one map that I keep finding in the mail. Meaning people are being sent this map, and they're like, some people are keeping it, and some people aren't, and it's like from some law firm. I don't even get it. And it's a map of the U.S. and it's like all these hate groups in the U.S. It's like the KKK and it. Every single city has like some little hate group that's like white supremacist, right? And then there's other mail that I'm seeing coming to African Americans that are like, if we don't act now, you know, there's going to be like a race war that we don't win and stuff. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, I mean, like, where is this? I don't even know. So it's not on the mainstream right now yet, but there's still like this weird tension brewing in terms of a race war. And that's like, the CIA, that's what they're really good at. They go into countries and then they dismantle them from the inside out. The Arab Spring or whatever it is, Libya, you get two factions, you know, Sunni and Shiites, whatever it is. You get two factions fighting each other from the within. It's genius, and that's what they do. So that's what they want to do to us. And, or they, whoever the they is, you know, people get sidetracked by that term. So it seems like that there will be probably within the next, before Biden's gone, I would imagine, there will be a false flag racial tension thing that builds some super tension over gun laws and what have you. And then by the time Trump is like getting reelected, there's going to be this whole wave of Antifa nonsense and wave funding will get thrown at that again. Because there was a crazy wave of Antifa, like lighting fires all over Portland and all this sort of stuff. And that isn't just done. It's just the funding probably got paused. I would imagine that they have those people waiting and hungry now, and that they're going to use them again in the near future, I would imagine. So there's that. I think there's going to be a lot of crazy fires. If you have been keeping up with like the fire thing, like Paradise, California, and the towns just, the buildings, the homes are just like pulverized, along with Santa Rosa, California, and then Ashland, where I'm at, Talent, Oregon, and then Lytton, BC, that town was like erased from the map, basically, and then in Boulder County, Colorado, it's increasing more. It's happening more. And in Australia, where they say it's climate change, and the trees are still there, and the homes are pulverized, people are calling it directed energy weapons. I think it has to do a lot to do with the smart meters surging down the line and creating these internal fires, electrical fires that just are, these smart meters can be surged to like pulverize these homes to dust. And that would make a lot of sense why the bushes are just sitting out front and what have you. I mean, my town is just still in rubble from something like whatever they did. I mean, it was Antifa lighting fires and then engineered winds. And then the elephant in the room, there's a lot of stuff. The fire hydrants didn't work and the emergency broadcast didn't go out. And there's a lot of things going on like that. So I see more towns just getting burned out, and that's something. So a lot of things happening at once. The racial thing will intensify. And then by the time Trump is back for reelection, which is just 2 years from now, that campaign will be romping. 2 years from now, we'll be like, oh, this is November, right? Or there's just one. Yeah.
You think he's really going to run again? Or do you think he even has a chance? Huh.
Yeah, he'll run again and they'll probably let him win. And it'll be against another Biden reelection, which everyone will hate him by then. So it'll be like staged again. But there'll be a lot of weird racial tension by then and Antifa. And that'll be all like intensifying. But in terms of like crazy world stuff, I think they'll draw out the Russia thing forever. There'll be like weird cyber attacks that we get to blame on Russia, but and then that'll increase food prices and increase stupid things like gas prices and whatnot. And then I think it'll culminate with maybe next year, or maybe the following year, where they totally engineer the weather like crazy. So I've been noticing like they every spring they're messing with it more and more and more. And what happens is, like, in February, they'll heat it up to, like, 70 degrees. And Mother Nature will be like, oh, it's spring. And they'll be like, ah, just kidding. And then it'll be, like, 10 degrees again or something. They do it all across the country, I've noticed. So we're in this up-and-down thing right now where I'm at. But they've been doing it, it seems like, everywhere. And the writing on the wall of these, like, whatever Georgia Guidestone scriptures, whatever, then the whole, like, food shortage propaganda machine, that's a normalization program. Like they're, and the disclosure, like there's karmic things and all these things. They have to tell us what they're doing. It's weird. And then we kind of co-create it together. I think that they will pull off a food shortage, but it'll be in the terms, it'll be weather warfare. So we'll have, and they'll call it, oh no, global warming. We need to get these seasons and, you know, more regulated with geoengineering. So spring will come early and then they'll hit us with a, you know, a harsh winter again, and it'll dismantle the crops so bad that though we will have probably a designed like winter is coming, you know, that didn't happen immediately. They kind of tell us and then they wait and then they do it, right? So it seems like the winter is coming thing will happen, and food prices will keep going up, and inflation will start to really creep and maybe run away. And then by the time, you know, people are like they'll probably pull another like Canada thing and be like, oh, we got to freeze these different bank accounts because they got involved with this. And then that'll lead to like people pulling their money out and what have you, you know, and then that can lead to the social credit system and the dollar getting, like the dollar will be, in 5 years, I think the dollar will be dismantled in the US, like the physical dollar.
So I think liberal with it. I'm expecting something this year to go down with the dollar. So tanking, like, what's up, Ben?
I was just about to say that. I was going to say, like, I don't see the end of this president's term before most of what you're talking about has already come about. I think that they're
Seems pretty evil, huh?
I don't think that he's evil. I think that he is the perfect puppet for the ones that we all know are evil. I don't think that he's got a fucking brain. I think that when he had a brain and the amount of time that he spent in service as a politician, they said, look it, we actually got a guy that spent 50 years on this side of what we need, and now he's brainless and we can perfectly use his goddamn face for what we want. And there you go. I don't see the puppet masters letting him out for that 2024 election of Trump that everybody's gunning for. I don't see that fucking happening before everything that we're talking about is in play, because it takes a step back from forward progression to where the next 4 years that Trump might do, he'll never gain ground on what he wanted to. He'll have to spend his 4 years undoing everything just to get back up to par, if that's even the case.
Apparently undoing.
Just like George W. Bush. Same kind of thing.
Just Just like George W. Bush. Real quick, guys, I got to get going. I tried to hang in there a little bit longer, but I do got to get going. Matt, it's great talking
wrap
to you.
Up anyway.
Don't
go anywhere. We're wrapping up.
All right.
We did have a question in the chat. When is Frankenskies 2? And I don't know if you have a date on that. But before you get out of here, plug whatever you have coming up.
Yeah, I don't know when that movie's going to be out. I'd like to have a trailer soon. The goal is to be able to go to Sweden when the Bill Gates experiment happens in this June. They've got it all designed now with Greta Thunberg being the opposition to the geoengineering. So she's going to be there saying, like, we actually need to do this differently. And her whole opposition is that it just needs to be regulated properly by the governance, the UN. So the UN's involved in regulating it properly, and they do it everywhere at once. And it's not just like dimming the sun in Costa Rica, but not, you know, Venezuela or whatever. You got to do balancing, do it everywhere all at once. So it's like totally so controlled. The goal is to have the film have a happy ending where, you know, we wake up and stop it. But I can't release the movie now because there's so much on the horizon. And just like the first one, please check out frankenskies.com or frankenskiesthemovie.com. Both will take you to the movie. Even just watching the first 20 minutes, there's a lot to learn. In the movie Frankenskies, like, I thought I should come out with it. And then I got delayed a little bit, and then all the stuff came out, like geoengineering, new clouds, and they started talking about dimming the sun and Bill Gates and all this stuff. So it's all in God's hands. I think that the movie will probably be out in about a year and a half, I'm thinking. And along with that, there's so many other things happening. I'll be getting around doing a little tour for Frankenskies, the first one, and getting out there. But I'm also putting together like this truth kind of music tour to at least hit the Midwest with some like speakers and musicians revolving around truth. And I'll keep everyone updated on that. Please check out Actual Activists, plural, my website, actualactivist.com. There's a daily blog on there and a lot of resources. Amazing tool there. That's my baby. And then my EMF protective clothing line, Sparrow, S-P-E-R-O. It's a Latin word for hope. Sparrow Gear on Instagram, sparrowgear.com. Come check me out over there. Oh, and I'll give you guys a coupon. Actual Activist is a coupon on the Sparrow Gear if you want to.
Awesome.
Coupon code.
Show notes.
And thanks for having me on, you guys.
Dude, of course. Good to see you. And next time you're down here, definitely let us know. Our house is always open. We've had several podcasts through and barbecue and hang out with them. It's fucking great. So thanks, Matt. And thanks, everybody in the live chat. Thanks, Ben, for hanging out later than normal. We appreciate it. And we'll catch you guys next time.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.